Eugene Levy, welcome.
Thank you, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
Glad you could be here. On first glance, looking at just the posters for Schitt's Creek and just seeing who was involved. I mean, you know, Catherine O'Hara, Chris Elliott. I mean, that guy's so sturdy as a comedian. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Annie Murphy.
Yeah, love Chris.
I think a lot of people, your son, obviously, the creator of this show and the writer of this show, I think a lot of people went to the Eugene Levy, Christopher Guest collaborations. They started thinking maybe Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show. Does this fit in that world at all? Is this more of a straight-ahead scripted show, or is there room for improvisation? Or?
No. Well, there's always room for improvisation when it kind of, you know, lends itself, when you have time for it. But this is really more of a scripted show. We really put a lot of time into the writing, right up to the point where we're on the floor and take it into the studio, where, you know, just when we think a page is as good as we can get it, and then we get it on its feet, and then we find that some lines we thought were good on the page don't seem to be playing as well on the floor. There's something kind of unnatural sounding about it.
Sure.
So we start tweaking on the floor to make everything feel and sound as natural as it can be. We don't want jokes to stand out as jokes and punchlines and things like that. And if you've watched the show, you know that it's really not a show about jokes and punchlines.
Of course it is. There's a slickness to the way it flows. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just strict. It's really a behavioral kind of show.
Yeah. I get that. Although you do feel like watching Catherine O'Hara, I mean, this is a weapon in your arsenal. I mean, my gosh, you've worked with this woman so much, all these incredible collaborations you've had with her.
Yeah.
People talk a lot about her around the water cooler because she does have that. She can go into this zany world with that character.
Stavros is flying in to get me, and I'm going to go live with him for a little bit.
Well, that is not happening. And I am appalled that my baby girl has turned into a selfish, duplicitous whore. Oh, hello.
Hi, I'm Twyla. I'll be your waitress today.
What makes her so compelling to watch, given that it is a script?
Well, she covers it all. She's extremely funny, but she's also one of the great character actresses around. And when you combine those two, you get sparks that, you know, you never know how far they're actually going to, you know, explode. She came in, we created a character, Moira Rose, you know, on paper, you know, very wealthy woman, soap opera actress, very kind of affected in that sense.
Not afraid of having a drink or two?
Not afraid of having a drink or two. You know, having left the world of acting when work seemed to dry up. The story behind her leaving Sunrise Bay was the fact that her husband, Johnny Rose, negotiated her contract and negotiated her right out of the business,
right.
Basically.
Right.
And then she started kind of co-chairing, you know, charity events and became a big kind of fundraising person. But what Catherine did was she brought something to the character, this kind of insane actressy affectation that we hadn't remotely kind of been aware of or counted on when we were creating the character. And that was the icing on the cake for Moira Rose and really made this character funny. She can do anything, really. She's like, as a character actress, she's so chameleon-like.
It's true. I mean, she's so many people's favorites, too. I mean, you talk to, like, I've heard Harry Shearer, I've heard Michael McKean, they'll all just go off about, she's top-notch, she's number one.
She is, number one. There's only one Catherine O'Hara, and I think she's the only person who can do what she does as well as she does it.
You created this show with your son, Dan. I know he's in the throes of working on season two right now. I'm guessing that your comedic relationship has changed over the years. I'm not even sure if you had one. Were you always kind of funny together as he was growing up?
It's hard for me to say whether how funny I am in the house, because
right.
I never really think I'm funny in the house. And there are people who think I'm funny in the house when I don't mean to be funny.
Sure.
I always try to, to bring comedy, to bring a few laughs into the house, even when the kids are small, you know, read them bedtime stories, but more start making them up a little bit, you know.
My dad did the Three Stooges thing. And my mom had some issues with that. She thought it was too violent.
You and your dad were doing some.
Yeah, he would bring in the VHS or Betamax or whatever, and throw that in, and he was like, "This is your comedic education."
Well, listen, the Stooges were. I grew up with the Stooges. But I don't know whether my kids ever took to the Stooges.
Sure, a bit of a reach for.
Yeah,
the
it was always.
Child.
You know, I remember trying to get them to watch. You know, Abbott and Costello. And Laurel and Hardy when they were younger and had a problem with that. They didn't, first of all, it was black and white.
Yeah. Big step right there.
Big step. Yeah. Big wall goes up right there. Yeah. You want me to watch this? Why is it interesting?
Yeah.
Does it come in color? No, it doesn't come in color. Well, you know, not really. So that was a waste of time, but they kind of grew up with their own comic sensibility kind of under the radar because, sure. You know, I know they didn't grow up as funny kids. I know Daniel wasn't necessarily a funny kid when he was growing up, and he was kind of relatively serious in high school. But I know that in high school, he was interested. He would go out for school plays, and I think he went to North Toronto. In fact, I know he went to North Toronto.
That's good.
When he was going to school, and I know one year they had a teacher strike. You know, he adapted the movie Clue
right
into a stage production and put it on with his friends, and that was like I realized what kind of a major undertaking that was. And we went to see it, and I realized he's got some talent on a stage. Didn't really know how serious. It was with him, and until he got onto MTV.
That's how a lot of people knew him, and I think this has been a real nice switch of gears for him because we're able to see how funny he can be and the range that he has, which has been fantastic to watch. Do you both agree when you're, you know, obviously he writes the scripts, you have a look at them and you punch them up together, but do you guys agree generally on what is funny?
I think we do. I mean, in the beginning, it was, he had a tendency in my eyes to go under a little bit until I realized he knows exactly what he's doing
right. And
what he's doing is, you know, is good. And 9 times out of 10 is on the money. You know, I had to took a little transition for me a little bit when he came to me initially to work with him on this thing, because he had the initial idea of the wealthy family losing their money, came to me and said, "Do you want to work on it?" And I said, "Wow, good. Love it. Nice little father-son thing." We started working on it, and as we started working on it, I'm realizing, wait a minute, he's really a good writer.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, and this whole process for me over the past 3 years working with him on the show, you just talked about the transition from MTV to what he's doing on the show, and I'm seeing the same transition at the same time you are because I've never worked with him before.
Sure.
So where this is coming from is just astounding me.
It's rare. I mean, it's a treat. Most father and sons, especially at this age for him, wouldn't do anything like this together, work this closely together. It's...
You know, all through school, when he would be working on a play, and I'd say, you know, do you want to, I can run some lines with you, I can do this. No, 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 it's okay, I got it. Everything was, I got it, you know. And I thought, well, this is something for some reason, he just doesn't want to work with his dad on these things. What I found out later when he came out and kind of admitted why he wasn't coming to me was because it was important to him that he do things on his own, without coming to me for anything that he wanted to, whatever he was going to do in this business or at that time and anything he wanted to do in life was not going to have anything to do with me. I look back and I totally get it. And the reason he came to me for Schitt's Creek was because he had the idea for the show. He wanted the same sensibility that Chris Guest and I had in our movies, you know, which is totally kind of character driven. You know, we don't make fun of the characters. The characters are who they are. We treat every character with respect and we treat our story with respect, and everything is grounded
right
in a reality. And that's kind of the area that we play in, and that he knew that this is the tone that he wanted.
Eli really did a number, Johnny. He took everything. They're still looking for him. They think he's in the Caymans.
He was our business manager. He's supposed to pay taxes.
There is a very small amount set aside for you, and one asset the government has allowed you to retain.
The kids.
The children are dependents, Moira.
There is a second season. We do know that. What do you think Dan and you and the whole ensemble learned from season one?
We had an incredible season. I mean, this season went not only as well, but better than we had ever thought that it could. We put so much time and effort into the first 13 shows, and it really paid off. We hadn't even aired our first show when CBC said, we want a second season.
That's a good
thing. They had seen the shows, and just having seen the shows, they said, we are now going for a second season. It doesn't really matter kind of what the numbers are, because
we can build on this.
We can build on this. Yeah. And CBC was kind of rebranding themselves comedically.
When I saw that they signed you guys on, I was like, that is something. That is something everybody can sink their teeth into.
Yeah, and we were excited about it, and they were excited about it.
Sure.
It's kind of a fun, it's a fun area to be in, you know, this family that really doesn't want to be there.
No.
And yet they are there.
And they're causing their own troubles as much as other people are causing them troubles, so.
Well, they're causing trouble because they can't help but, you know, cause trouble. This is not their world.
No. Well, congratulations on it. I'm looking forward to season two. This was one I really sat down and we got out the old PVR. And
did you binge watch?
We did do a little binging.
It's a great show to binge watch.
Yeah, well, a lot of shows are these days, and yours is no different. So that was fantastic. Congratulations on Schitt's Creek.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Pleasure to be here.